And good morning, Santa Fe. Welcome to Veterans Today. I'm your host, Matthew Chavez, along with our master interviewer, Vince Lopez, and we hope you're making it a great day. It's another beautiful day in our hometown of Santa Fe. We're 7,200 feet closer to heaven than most. Vince, you were at the Capitol yesterday. Good morning to you.
Good morning. It was a great day yesterday.
Wasn't it a great day? Veterans Day at the Capitol.
Veterans Day and Military Day.
Isn't that cool, man? Yeah, yeah. I guess you got the opportunity to talk to a lot of really cool peeps, huh?
A lot of people. World War II vets, Korean vets, Vietnam vets, Iraqi vets. Talked to the Adjutant General.
Very cool. General Nava.
General Nava.
Nice man. Smart man.
Yeah, it was a great turnout. There were a lot of people in the rain.
Even in the rain.
Even in the rain.
That's one thing about those military guys, man. They're not afraid of weather.
They're not afraid of weather. It was better than being in a foxhole, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
So how many people were there, man? Were there a lot of people or just a massive turnout?
Well, let's just say the rotunda and the sides of the rotunda and then second floor all the way around. People standing at the railings all the way around. It was packed.
Very cool. And unfortunately, I was unable to attend that. Yeah. I was attending to other business. But apparently, you got some really cool interviews, right?
Yeah. And I don't know when we're ready to start. We'll listen to one and we'll talk about them right after. So.
And I think you talked to Max Johnson, didn't you?
Colonel Johnson. Yeah.
What a great man, man. You know, for everybody who doesn't know Max, he's a veterans advocate. And he's probably one of, you know, people don't understand. Max is in the background advocating for you guys, man. And Max, Colonel Johnson, is just one of the greatest men I've ever met in my life. So you think we should listen to his interview?
Let's do his first.
Okay. Sounds good.
Welcome to KSWV. This is Vince Lopez on Que Suave. I'm here at the Roundhouse in the Rotunda. Got a special guest here. I want you to listen to. And here he is. I'm going to let him introduce himself, tell him what he does. And what he's doing here at the Roundhouse, and it's Mr. Max Johnson.
Thank you, Vince. Max Johnson. I'm the legislative liaison for the State Council of Chapters of Military Officers Association of America, and we're down here today for the Military and Veterans Day at the Roundhouse. It's the day when military veterans, retirees come and be recognized. There's all kinds of booths and people handing out information and things for veterans and retired military and people that have just come down to pay honor and homage to the folks that have served. Hopefully, the people that have come here will have an opportunity to visit with some of their legislators and talk about the important bills that are in the legislature having to do with military veterans and retirees. For example, Senate Bill 330 that would provide a tax incentive, a tax reduction for retirees and veterans. New Mexico is one of 8 states that fully tax military retirement. The other 42 don't. And we feel like if we could get that changed, we would encourage military retirees and veterans to stay in and move to the state of New Mexico to bring their retirement pay, their families, and all of the skills that they've learned in their military career to enhance the population and the economy of the state of New Mexico. So that's what I'm doing here.
Well, thank you, thank you. That's a lot of stuff to do. You probably spend many, many hours here. And thank you for your dedication. And thank you for being a veteran, a retired colonel. Thank you for that. And do you have any closing remarks?
I can tell you it's a pleasure and a privilege to get to be here to serve the military past, present, and future for the state of New Mexico.
Thank you. That's Mr. Max Johnson, retired colonel and liaison here at the state legislature. I'll be walking around trying to find another interview here. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. It's today on Que Suave Radio, KSWV. Our next guest, I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell her what she does. She's a woman veteran, and we're proud of all our veterans today. And here she is.
Hello, thanks for having me. My name is Kristen Barden, and I'm the founder of Women Veterans of New Mexico. We formed in 2006. to support currently over 17,000 women veterans who live in New Mexico and have served all branches of service from all eras. We formed because we weren't really being included in legislation back in 2006. The women's clinic at the VA hospital had closed, so we didn't have gender-specific care. We weren't being considered for services and legislation within the state, and so knew that as a collective group, our voice would be louder. Close to 2 million women have served this country from, of course, what we all know, World War I and current. But women have always served in the military. We can trace it back to the Civil War, where women were fighting actually side by side with husbands, fathers, brothers, and picking up whatever duties needed to be done. So I'm pretty proud of our organization. We serve the entire state, and one of the things that I'm most proud of is we have a supportive services program that our sisters will be taken care of in the event that they have some kind of catastrophic illness, injury, or even event at the house. So we've been able to support deposits for rent and car repairs and utility payments without a lot of red tape. So we're very proud of that in supporting our past veterans, currently serving members of the military, women veterans, and our future generations that are also going to serve. We support them and serve as a peer for them. Forgot to mention, I'm fourth generation veteran. My great-grandfather served in World War I, my grandfather World War II in Korea, and my father served in Vietnam. My brother had asthma, so he couldn't join, so I carried on the family tradition and served during Desert Storm. I was in the Air Forces. It's now called Security Forces. At the time, it was called Security Police. So no desk jockey for me. I was out in the field guarding. So, yeah.
Nice. Thank you very much. Yeah, military police, that's a whole nother story. You know, being a policeman out there is different than being a policeman here. You have to protect and guard and do all kinds of things out there. So thank you very much.
Wow, Vince. Kristen, MP. Really, really cool, man. And what a family tradition. Did you hear, she was, I guess a lot of people in her family have served.
Fourth generation.
Isn't that just absolutely amazing? Tell me a little bit about her and how your interview went.
Yeah, she's the founder of that women's group, and it's getting bigger. And the part that got me, I even got, a little chills there when she was talking, is what all the women did during World War II.
It is amazing.
Even all the way back to the Civil War, she talked about them fighting next to each other, husband and wife, and even sometimes the older kids fighting next to each other in the Civil War, and then World War II. And then we even talked about the ones that weren't in the military, the women, the Rosie the Riveter,
sure,
and all those things.
Sure.
But thank you, women in the military and the veterans.
No doubt about it. And thank you, Kristen. That was really, really cool. And I'll tell you what, you talk about World War II, World War I, Korea, Vietnam conflict, Iraq. I mean, I was one of the first, I had one of the first group of female students, pilots, to go through training back in the 90s. And I'm telling you, Vince, when it came to academics, these girls would just rock it, man. They were just amazing. I mean, you just couldn't, they learned the systems, they learned the airplane, they learned how to fly it, and I think their motivation just seems so refreshing, because they just wanted to learn. They wanted to learn how to fly these airplanes. It was just it was the greatest thing I ever saw.
And they're tough.
And they're tough.
They're tough.
Kristen was an MP, man. That's big stuff there, buddy.
Yeah.
So, that sounded like a great interview, Vince. You want to hear another one?
Yeah, let's go.
Mr. Engineer, if you would.
Mr. Engineer.
Suave Radio, KSWV, 810 AM, 99.9 FM. I'm here at the Capitol Rotunda, and my next guest is, I'll let her introduce herself,
Lieutenant Colonel Angie Slingluff, Civil Air Patrol, Commander of the Santa Fe Squadron, Civil Air Patrol.
Okay, and tell us a little bit about what you do and what you're doing here at the Capitol today.
Well, Civil Air Patrol is an auxiliary of the Air Force, and we have three major programs, cadet programs. We take youngsters ages 12 to 18, teach them leadership, community service. We try to get them into aviation. They have an opportunity to earn 5 free flights in fixed-wing aircraft, 5 flights in glider aircraft. If they're truly interested, they can go to glider encampment and get their glider pilot certificate. We also have aerospace education. There's so many things happening in aerospace and aviation today that are career opportunities, so we try to stay up to date with what's happening. We also do emergency services. We're tasked by the Air Force to do missions for search and rescue. For Homeland Security, we do photographic missions. We've done photographic missions along the Rio Grande looking for pinch points that might flood. We work for the Department of Natural Resources looking for whatever we're tasked to find.
Nice. What does a young man or woman have to do to join, and how much time does it take from them? Can they go to school and still do this? How does that work?
Oh, absolutely. Normally, we ask that a cadet prospect attend 3 meetings at a local squadron, and after the 3 meetings, they can say, yes, this is a good fit, no, it's not a fit. When they do that, we do an application. Most of the squadrons for cadets meet once a week on a specific day. You can go to gocivilairpatrol.com. And look at join now, put in a zip code, and you'll find the squadron nearest you, and a name and a contact number that you can call.
Okay, and what were the ages again?
We begin to take them in at age 12. They can remain a cadet until they're 18. If they're really interested, they can stay until they're 21 and progressively go through the ranks. If they decide to join the military, after being 3 years in the Civil Air Patrol, they would enlist at 1 rank higher than they would if they just walked in off the street.
Wow, very good. Okay, out there, if any of your kids are looking to maybe possibly be a pilot or get this great, great opportunity.
Not just for pilots. We have all kinds of jobs and positions. We need young people. We need senior members. Check it out. GoCivilAirPatrol.com. Find out.
Thank you, Civil Air Patrol. Thank you. Here we're here at the Capitol in the Rotunda. I'm going to look around for some more interviews, and thank you very much. This is Que Suave, KSWV Radio.
Great interview, Vince. Civil Air Patrol, man, great people. As a retired naval aviator, I'm all about Civil Air Patrol. I want to give a special thanks to Lieutenant Colonel Slingliff. She helped us. She helped SkyTech of New Mexico over Christmas with the Wreaths Across America, and that was just a wonderful, wonderful. I mean, you were there. I was there. We had like 200 people show up for that. And a lot of it had to do with Angie, Lieutenant Colonel Slingliff helping us. And one thing I'll say about those kids, those Civil Air Patrol kids, boy, they are, and I'm going to use a Navy term here, those kids are squared away, man.
Yeah, very good, very good. All right, let's do another one.
Welcome back to Suave Radio, KSWV. This is Vince Lopez here at the State Capitol in the Rotunda, and I have 2 very special guests here, 2 World War II veterans. I'm going to let them introduce themselves and tell us just where they served and anything they want to say. Here you go, sir.
My name is Ramos Sanchez. I'm from the Pueblo of San Alfonso. I joined the U.S. Navy in 1944, assigned to the veterans that were coming from Germany after the invasion and each battalion. Then I was trained in San Diego, trained in Camp Pendleton, Oceanside, and then assigned to my ship, the USS New Kent 217, amphibious transport. And I was then transferred on into the, went to Hawaii. From Hawaii, we were shipped down to the Marshall Islands, went all the way down to Guadalcanal, and trained down there. We moved troops around from island to island. And I was, the beach battalion went on the ship, and we had nothing to do, but all we were doing was studying maps. So our officer made arrangements for me assigned to duties on the ship. I was assigned down to the engine room. I was controlling the speed of the ship. Then I had another assignment, taking care of the emergency steering. I worked as a fighter, firefighter, then assigned to man a 50 caliber machine gun on the starboard side, and then I did help repair things that went wrong in the engine room, working along with all the motor machines. I was a motor machines mate, third class. And from Guadalcanal, we moved our troops, pick up Aussies, Australian soldiers, and transferred them to different islands. I went all around the South Pacific Asia and then on to the Philippines. And then from Philippines, we got ready to make invasions of Okinawa, and I was involved in that. Then from Okinawa, we were to invade Japan, but then the Air Force dropped an A-bomb on Hiroshima, so you just took our troops onto Hiroshima and then walked around sightseeing and so forth. And then from there we came back to the United States and then got discharged.
Thank you, sir, very much. Thank you for your service. Thank you for all you did there.
You're very welcome.
You're very welcome, sir.
All righty. Thank you very much. World War II veteran, he did a lot. That's a lot. And back then, okay, here we go. We've got another World War II veteran here. He's going to introduce himself and tell us a little about himself.
My name is Raymond R. Naranjo. I'm from Santa Clara Pueblo, and I'm an American Indian, and I served in Germany till the end of the war. I went, when I came home, well, let me tell you first that I spent 45 days on the boat going over the English Channel, was already blown up, you know, and but luckily we made it in France. So I served there in France for a short while we went and moved there. I was the second scout in my regiment, in my platoon rather. Anyway, I spent the time in Berlin, so that's where they finally let us come home, you know, the first group that was there. I don't remember the dates, but it was a long time ago.
A long time ago. Wow, and you look great. Both of you look great. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for being here today.